Let's give our attention now to God's Word, and let's turn together to the Gospel of John in chapter 18. John's Gospel, chapter 18. The world we live in is very much a place where people are busy, we could say, hiding from the truth. For example, and this is just one example, our American culture is especially infatuated with the pursuit of youth. It's kind of ironic, because as you pursue youth, you get older. No wonder the latest diet and fitness books are always among the best sellers, and no wonder they're always the first ones to show up in the garage sales, right beside the exercise bikes and treadmills. Also a part of our culture is the myth that we can have everything we want. The devil would love for us to believe that we can have everything and anything we want if we just work for it hard enough, if we just try hard enough, or if we just take it. We teach our children that they should have it better than we did growing up, and we do our best to give them everything that they want. We also tell ourselves the same lie while we go deeper into debt, telling ourselves we can have anything we want. We can just buy it on credit. And that is a deadly trap to your spiritual life many times. Too slowly we discover that we're actually less satisfied than before we got that latest shiny thing. But as bad as those things are, and again, those are examples of many things that would entrap us, there's another truth that is even more dangerous to deny. You know, the world around us is also busy hiding from the truth that you can't get away with living in opposition to God. The culture around us preaches tolerance for all beliefs, tolerance for all opinions, as long as those opinions don't contradict their own, and tolerance of even affirmation for all ways of life, declaring that you should be able to live any way you want. And all of this while at the same time refusing to admit they are themselves intolerant toward those who hold to God's word, who've committed their lives to living by God's standard for living. This is not a new problem. It is, in fact, an old problem. It's actually an original sin problem. It still amazes us that we can go back to the beginning and go back to Genesis and see this is actually what happened in the garden. It's not a new problem. It is, in fact, an old problem, and we'll see plainly in the text before us it was a problem when Jesus walked the earth. Let's look together at John chapter 18, verses 28 through 38 this morning as we pick up from where we left off 2 weeks ago, and follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from the English Standard Version where we see what follows after Jesus is arrested. Verse 28, John chapter 18. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was, says verse 32, to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And verse 37 says, "Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth listens to my voice.' And Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, 'I find no guilt in him.'" Now, as we come to our text beginning in verse 28 this morning, we find that the Jewish authorities are taking Jesus from the home of Caiaphas. This is interesting. Though we saw Jesus sent to Caiaphas at the close of our passage last time, John didn't record for us what we learned from Matthew's gospel about what happened in the night, that the chief priests and the whole council had met at Caiaphas' house in the middle of the night and had agreed that Jesus should die. Now, of course, this was not carried out according to proper procedure. It was inappropriate for them to have held a trial in the middle of the night, first of all, and so they gathered again after daylight. They wanted to get together and rubber stamp this thing that they had agreed on to give formal judgment on, all the while they're hiding from the truth. What truth were they hiding from? Well, look at verse 28 again, and maybe you can see the irony in this. Verse 28 says, "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters." Why? "So that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover." They are taking Jesus to the governor's headquarters. They are taking him to Pilate. But as they arrive at Pilate's headquarters, they would not enter. They would not go into this place. They stayed outside in the courtyard. Why? Because they were concerned about remaining ceremonially clean. You see, Jews believe that even entering a Gentile's place of dwelling would bring on themselves ceremonial defilement, and so they remained outside. And John points to this and the irony of it all. How interesting that while holding to the letter of the law, these religious leaders are ready to pronounce judgment on the very one to whom the Passover points. They are preparing to take the life of the Lamb of God. Jesus had come to be the sacrifice for sinners. While at the same time, as they prepare to have him killed, have him crucified, while at the same time trying to remain clean, so that they would not be kept from celebrating the Passover. Pastor and author John MacArthur says about this, illustrative of the twisted devotion of religious legalists, "The Jewish leaders expected to please God through their legalism expressed in physical separation from a Gentile house, while at the same time illegally murdering God's Son. They fastidiously avoided any superficial ceremonial defilement, but cared nothing about the profound moral defilement they incurred from rejecting and condemning the Holy Son of God to death. Bible scholar D.A. Carson says this about our passage. He says, "The Jews take elaborate precautions to avoid ritual contamination in order to eat the Passover. At the very same time, they are busy manipulating the judicial system to secure the death of him who alone is the true Passover." Yes. And the one they should believe in, they actually want to kill. They are hiding from the truth. We can see it as well when Pilate comes out to speak to them in the courtyard. Look again at verses 29 and 30. When it says in verse 29, "So Pilate went outside to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' They answered him in verse 30, 'If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.'" Did they answer the question? Did not. Nice dodge. And here they have a problem. They can't bring before Pilate the real reason for wanting Jesus dead. They couldn't answer him truthfully. And they risked him sending them away if they had answered him truthfully. They had accused Jesus of blasphemy, but couldn't bring that charge to Pilate since that was a religious charge, and he would have said, "No, no, take that away from me. That's not my problem. That's your problem." They were hoping that he would simply trust them. It's kind of like when somebody says, I don't know, I kind of cringe when somebody says, "Trust me." Or "Now I'm being honest with you." Well, that's a red flag, isn't it? We get those little things in our conversations, and we need to be careful about those things that we use and don't think about. When we say, "Honestly," like everything I said before wasn't necessarily honest. But here they are. "Trust us. Believe us. We wouldn't have brought him to you if we didn't have a really good reason. Trust us." The trouble is, what Pilate is asking them would lead to a full-blown trial, and they were hoping to have him killed quickly and quietly. We want him done away with quickly. They couldn't tell him the truth, and they wanted Jesus dead because they considered his claim of being God incarnate to be blasphemy. And so they finally reveal their intentions. Look at verse 32. Actually, back to verse 31. They reveal their intentions in verse 32 after Pilate's statement seen here in verse 31. Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." Oh, there's a problem, because their own law can't accomplish what they want accomplished. The Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill, says verse 32, the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. The Jews could not make a pronouncement of death by crucifixion. Only a Roman court could do that. Well, there were people who had been stoned to death by Jews for blasphemy, but that was often the result of mob violence. Interestingly, John points out in verse 32 that their desire to have Pilate pronounce a death sentence on Jesus would result in his crucifixion, which would also be a fulfillment of prophecy. Also a fulfillment of prophecy was that he was being hauled by Jews before a Gentile court, which fulfilled Jesus' own prophetic words and statement to his disciples, which we hear in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Listen to verses 33 and 34. Where it says, "The Son of Man," Jesus speaking, "the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." All of that will be fulfilled. It's also likely the Jews want Jesus crucified because according to Mosaic law, such a death was proof of God's curse. But they are unwittingly fulfilling God's plans. They want Jesus put to death, yet they still haven't leveled a charge at Jesus before Pilate. Little did they know that the very type of death they wanted, that they hoped would expose him as a liar, would actually be the very means by which God would bring justification by faith alone from the law. It's just as we hear when the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Jesus Christ had the wrath of God poured out on him, the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus was innocent. And the Jews inadvertently have shown that because they still haven't leveled a charge at him other than vaguely calling him an evildoer. The Jews are still hiding from the truth. But they're not alone, as we'll see soon. At this point, Pilate is likely frustrated with the Jews, but he's had so many run-ins with them in the past, he's afraid he may lose his job or worse if he can't resolve this issue. Look at verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Why did he ask that question? We find the reason for this question in Luke's account. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 2, where the Bible says, "And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, the King.'" You see, if the Jews could make it sound like Jesus was trying to overthrow Roman rule and Roman authority, well, then this Roman judge would have to have Jesus crucified. That's what they were hoping for. Pilate, in effect, is asking Jesus to declare himself guilty or not guilty. Note his response in verse 34 where Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say this to you about me?" You know, Jesus will never hesitate to reveal the truth to a real seeker of truth. So Jesus inquires of Pilate, why is he asking? Jesus is saying, do you really want to know the truth, or are you simply trying to find a reason to judge me? Why are you asking? Jesus also wants to know what he means. Are you asking if I'm trying to overthrow Roman authority, or are you asking if I'm the promised Messiah? Because those are two different answers. Pilate's answer reveals the truth of what he was asking, that he is not a seeker of truth. He only wants to be done with the problem. Verse 35, look at it. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Well, Pilate couldn't care less about who Jesus is as long as he's not trying to overthrow Roman authority. So again, Pilate is back to asking Jesus, guilty or not guilty? What do you say about yourself? And Jesus reveals more about himself and his kingdom. Look at verse 36 again. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of the world." Of course, Jesus has not come to be political power. He's not come to overthrow an earthly kingdom, but he has come to overthrow the forces of darkness that rule over the earth, and he's come to do so with the light of truth. And that's where Jesus points in answer to the next question from Pilate, verse 37. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." After Pilate asks, "So you're a king?" Jesus says, "You say that I am a king." Pilate's obviously confused about the kingdom of which Jesus speaks. So Jesus tries to help Pilate understand, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." What purpose? "To bear witness to the truth," says Jesus. Truth. So many are hiding from the truth, ignoring the truth, denying the truth, rejecting the truth, even calling the truth evil, calling the truth error. Jesus had come into the world to bear witness to the truth, to point to the truth, to declare truth, to live that truth, and then to die for the truth. Jesus had come in human flesh to reveal God to mankind as never before. Jesus came to make God known as never before. Jesus revealed the truth. Jesus spoke the truth. And in so doing, Jesus revealed God. And all who believe in Jesus are given the gift that they cannot earn, the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life by which they are made a part of His eternal kingdom. And so next, Jesus says in verse 37 that everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Meaning that anyone who truly wanted the truth would hear His words with faith and believe. And by trusting in Him, they would know that His words were true. Think about this. Here's Pilate hearing this. There's an opportunity here for Pilate to believe, to become a believer in Jesus. He's hearing the truth from the truth, the one who is truth. Pilate has an opportunity to believe. Jesus has made the truth clear. But Pilate is also hiding from the truth. Again, look at verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Pilate didn't want anything to do with the truth. He'd become cynical about truth. He'd seen the truth twisted and misused so many times, he was done seeking truth. These people were all hiding from the truth. They all refused to believe the truth when it was plainly shown to them. They had Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, standing right in front of them. And yet, they refused to believe the truth. So what are the implications of this passage for us today? What should we take to heart from this? Well, let me make this clear. Our only hope is Jesus. So put your faith in Him. Do not hide from the truth. Do not deny the truth. Jesus brings the light of truth. It is a message of truth that can be freely received. And the gospel is the grace of God poured out freely on sinners who receive it by faith, believing in Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' mission to be a witness to that truth. And if we're not careful, we could be just like these Jews who appeared very religious. But they had no faith. You realize that you can be religious? You can actually be a churchgoer and have no faith? That's a dangerous place to be, because Satan would love for that to be true of you. For you to be a churchgoer and think, I'm okay, and yet not truly trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for the forgiveness of your sins. And with no faith, these people accusing Jesus of wrongdoing, with no faith, they were dead in their sins. Or we could be like Pilate, just going through the motions, refusing to care about the truth, being ambivalent about the truth, refusing to trust the light of life who is Christ. But either way, beware simply keeping up appearances. We dare not hide from the truth ourselves. For the sake of our own spiritual health and for the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must trust in Jesus. Yes, the gospel is an invitation to believe in Jesus Christ, but it's also a command to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you refuse to obey the command of God to trust in Jesus Christ, you have convicted yourself of what you're already guilty, and that is of sin, being completely incapable of saving yourself. For the sake of our own spiritual health and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must trust in Jesus. We must, as the old hymn says, trust and obey. Trust and obey. It's too easy to just keep up appearances. It's just too easy to appear to hold to God's standard on the outside to look like we're okay spiritually, when in fact you're hiding from God's truth. It is so easy to refuse to allow the truth of God's word to change your heart and your mind so that you surrender your life in its entirety to be lived for Jesus Christ. It's easy to refuse to allow the truth of God's word to change you. Do not let that be true of you. Instead, church, let's humble ourselves before God and His Word. And if I'm speaking to you as an unbeliever, submit to God today. Trust in Him alone. Give Him your life, and He will give you eternal life. Let's seek to live lives of meaning, because God has us here to live lives of meaning. And that meaning is most fully accomplished when we see our lives as conduits of God's grace, as messengers of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's seek to live lives of meaning, of true fulfillment. Lives that find their fulfillment in being messengers for their own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, living to be the people God created us to be for His glory, with our faith fixed on Jesus.